If you were building a brand new corporate headquarters, you wouldn't let the construction company just like keep the master keys to your front door.
Right. No, that would be crazy.
Exactly. You certainly wouldn't say, sure, build my office, but you get to decide who walks into the lobby and, oh, feel free to just dig through my filing cabinets whenever the mood strikes.
Yeah, that would literally be corporate malpractice. I mean, you'd
No.
never compromise your physical security or your proprietary info like that. You absolutely demand ownership of the space.
Right. But when we step into the digital world, and specifically, how organizations or associations and businesses communicate with their audiences through newsletters, that is like exactly what we do.
We just hand them the keys.
We just hand over the master keys to our contact lists. And before we dive into a truly fascinating solution to that exact problem today, I really want to start by thanking the supporter of today's deep dive, which is SafeServer. Because, think about the incredibly expensive proprietary tools that organizations rely on every single day for their
Oh,
communications.
yeah. The massive walled gardens. Yeah.
Exactly, the giants. We're talking Microsoft,
Right.
Google, MailChimp, SendinBlue.
It's essentially a landlord-tenant relationship with those companies. You are basically renting space for your own audience, and you're paying an absolute premium for the privilege.
Yeah, and SafeServer offers a completely different path here. They basically help organizations transition to open source solutions.
Yeah.
And I mean, the cost difference of switching away from those giants can be absolutely
It's
massive.
cute.
But crucially, this isn't just like a budget conversation.
Yeah.
If you are dealing with legal, regulatory, or compliance requirements,
Which so many are.
right? Things like strict email retention policies, rigorous data protection laws, financial records, secure audit trails, data sovereignties, it's
Yeah.
literally everything.
It has to be. I mean, you simply cannot afford to have highly sensitive contact lists just sitting on some proprietary server halfway across the world, governed by an entirely different set of privacy
Right,
laws.
where like an algorithm update could suddenly lock you out of your own
Yeah,
communications.
exactly. It's a massive risk.
Which is exactly why SafeServer helps organizations find and implement the right open source tool for their specific needs, taking you from, the initial consulting phase right through to secure, reliable operation right there on German servers. You can find more information about regaining your digital independence at www.safeserver.de.
It's so important right now.
It really is. So, okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at a stack of sources, specifically a GitHub repository and the official website documentation for an open source software called Kila.
Yeah, Keela.
And for any beginner looking to start a newsletter without getting, locked into a proprietary ecosystem or without just feeding their subscribers data to a massive tech conglomerate, this is like the perfect entry point.
It really is a game changer for that specific demographic.
Yeah. So our mission today is to explore how a 100% open source tool can basically combine beginner-friendly design with enterprise-level privacy.
Right. And to really understand why Keela is making such waves in, the developer and marketing communities, we really first have to look at what it actually is, and more importantly, how it dismantles the usual barriers that keep beginners entirely away from open source tools.
Totally. So let's start with the most welcoming part, which, I mean, is the branding. Kila is actually the name of the project's mascot.
Yes, the elephant.
Yeah, according to the documentation, she is a wise, diligent elephant lady who remembers countless email addresses.
Yeah.
And I have to mention my absolute favorite detail from the source material. She apparently loves holidaying in the lakes of Finland.
Which is just so great. It's incredibly charming.
And that charm is a very, very intentional design choice. I mean, it immediately signals to the user that this isn't some, intimidating, hyper-corporate, sterile software.
Right. But I do have to push back a little on the label open source software, though. Because if you're listening to this and you aren't like a full stack developer, that phrase carries some pretty heavy baggage.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds scary.
Yeah. Usually when a beginner hears open source, they picture this, dark terminal screen with the command line interface where you basically need a computer science degree just to send a hello world email.
Yep, the green text on a black background stereotype.
Exactly. So if I barely know how to format a Word document, is Keela just going to leave me in the dust?
Well, that is the classic and honestly often justified open source stereotype. But Kila is engineered specifically to solve that exact barrier to entry. They've designed the platform to like meet you exactly where your technical skills are today and then essentially grow with you.
Okay. How so? Well, they offer four distinct ways to create emails. So if you have absolutely zero coding experience, you just start with their visual block editor.
Like a drag and drop thing.
Exactly. It's a super intuitive interface where you literally drag and drop text, images, buttons right onto a canvas. In fact, looking at the recent updates from the sources, they just added granular text alignment options right within those visual blocks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, giving you precise control without ever touching a single line of code.
Okay, but say I'm someone who writes a ton of blogs, right? And I find those visual drag and drop editors to be a bit, I don't know, clunky or slow. I just want to write clean text fast.
Then you'd step up to their Markdown-powered YCWG editor.
Okay, let's translate that for the non-technical folks. WYSIWYG stands for what you see is what you get, right?
Right.
But how does the markdown part actually work?
So Markdown is this beautifully simple way to format text just using standard keyboard symbols. For example, if you type an asterisk before and after a word, the editor just automatically knows to make that word bold. Yeah, or like a hashtag creates a header. It basically translates those simple symbols into clean, perfectly formatted code in the background. So it gives you a very fast writing experience without the bloat of a visual block editor.
That makes total sense. But what if I have an actual design team? Like, what if I need incredibly complex custom layouts that have to look absolutely perfect on an iPhone, an Android, and a desktop monitor?
Okay, so that brings us to the third option, which is where Kila really flexes its technical muscles. It natively supports MJML.
Hold on, alphabet soup there.
Yeah.
MJ Mellon. Why do we need a specialized language just for emails?
I
Like,
know.
why can't we just use regular HTML like we do for every other website?
Oh, okay. What's fascinating here is the chaotic nature of email clients. If you build a beautiful web page, modern web browsers all generally agree on how to display it, right?
Right. Chrome, Safari, they handle it.
Exactly. But email clients like Outlook, Apple Mail, Gmail, they are notoriously terrible at rendering HTML consistently. Like an email that looks absolutely gorgeous in Gmail might look like a broken ransom note when someone opens it in Outlook.
Well, I hate when that happens.
We all do. So MJML was created specifically to solve this. It is a responsive markup language that automatically generates the bulletproof, really messy HTML required to force all those different email clients to display your design correctly.
Ah, got it.
Yeah. So by supporting MJML, Kila is catering directly to top-tier developers and designers.
So that's three. What's the fourth option?
Good old-fashioned plain text, just words on a screen, which honestly often actually have the highest deliverability rates anyway.
I really appreciate that structural progression, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it means a solo creator can start on day one with just simple drag and drop blocks.
Exactly.
But then a year later, when their list explodes and they, hire a professional designer, they don't have to migrate their entire audience to a new, expensive enterprise platform just to get those advanced MJML layouts.
Right. And if we connect this back to the bigger picture, you've essentially just described the holy grail of software design,
Jeez.
Eliminating the friction of starting while entirely removing the ceiling on what an advanced user can achieve.
I love that. So, okay, we know how to design the email. The next logical hurdle is figuring out how to get people to actually sign up for it.
Yeah.
And I have to use an analogy here. Having a newsletter sign-up form on the open internet is a lot like leaving a giant bowl of candy on your porch on Halloween night.
Oh, completely.
The bots are going to show up. And they aren't just taking one piece,
Yeah,
they're going to take the whole bowl.
they absolutely will.
Wait, so you're telling me my entire Cinder reputation can be ruined just because automated bots fill out my form?
Oh, absolutely ruined. And this is a massive, often invisible problem for beginners. See, when spam bots flood your sign-up form with thousands of fake email addresses, and then you try to send a newsletter to that list, the massive email providers like Gmail and Yahoo, they take notice.
Right, they see what's happening.
Yeah, they see your server attempting to deliver thousands of messages to completely dead inboxes, and their algorithms instantly flag you as a spammer. From that moment on, even your legitimate emails to real humans get quietly routed to the junk folder.
So how does Kila defend the porch, so to speak?
It addresses it right at the front door with a multi-layered defense. So, first, they have a form builder that lets you create custom sign-up forms with checkboxes and drop-downs, all without coding. But behind that form, they integrate hCAPTCHA and Friendly CAPTCHA.
Oh, okay. Those are the little widgets that ask you to prove you're human, right?
Yes, exactly. That stops the initial blunt force wave of automated scripts. But the ultimate ironclad defense here is confirmed opt-in, which is also known as double opt-in.
Okay. How does that work?
Even if a really sophisticated bot manages to fill out the form, Kila holds that address in quarantine. It sends a verification email to that address. And if the link inside that specific email isn't actively clicked by a human, the address is just never added to your active list.
Right, but here's where it gets really interesting, though. In the recent update section of the GitHub repository, there's a feature they just added called Protected Unsubscribe and Double Opt-in Links. And when you dig into the why behind this feature, it completely blows my mind.
It's so cool. It really highlights the hidden mechanisms of the internet that are constantly battling each other.
Break it down for me.
So corporate mail servers use these automated security scanners, right? When an email arrives at a company inbox, the security scanner rapidly clicks every single link in the email in the background to check for malware or phishing attempts before ever letting the employee see it.
Which, I mean, sounds fantastic for corporate security, but absolutely terrible for a newsletter sender.
It's a nightmare.
Because if the scanner automatically clicks the unsubscribe link just to check it for viruses, it accidentally unsubscribes a real, loyal reader who actually wanted your emails.
Precisely. Or even worse, the scanner clicks the double opt-in verification link and falsely verifies a bot.
Oh, man. So how did they fix it?
Kila essentially outsmarted these enterprise scanners by adding a clever additional verification step on those specific links. A machine scanner that's just clicking rapidly in the background won't pass the second step, but a human actively trying to unsubscribe or opt in will.
That is an elegant, brilliant way to protect the integrity of your list
from
both malicious bots and, frankly, overzealous security software.
Exactly. So smart.
So what does this all mean? We have a beautifully designed email, and we have this pristine list full of verified, real human beings. Now, you have to send them content that actually matters to them, which requires data.
Right.
But we want to do this without acting like a creepy surveillance corporation tracking their every single mouse movement. And I notice Kila actually offers a one-click option to just turn off tracking entirely.
They do. And honestly, in an era of hyper-surveillance capitalism, that is such a breath of fresh air. It really comes down to the delicate balance between useful analytics and respecting fundamental privacy. Like, by default, Kila collects the essential metrics you need to gauge your content's performance, like open rates and click tracking, but it strictly adheres to European privacy standards.
And if you are running, say, like an internal company newsletter where you absolutely don't need those metrics, you just hit that one button and the tracking is completely gone.
Yep, vanished.
But let's assume I do want to personalize things. Like, I want to address my subscribers by name or send them highly specific content. How does Kila handle subscriber data?
This is where the architecture of the software really shines. So Kila stores custom data for every single contact as a single JSON object.
Okay, let's step away from the developer jargon for just a second. How should a non-technical person visualize a JSON object?
Fair enough. Think of a JSON object like a digital name tag for your subscriber. But instead of just having their name written on it, you can stick custom labels all over it.
Like stickers.
Yeah. In a traditional rigid spreadsheet, if you want to track a new piece of information, like, say, someone's favorite color, you have to add a new column for every single person on the list, even if 90% of them don't have a favorite color listed.
Oh, and that gets incredibly messy fast.
Very messy. But a JSON object uses what's called key value pairs. It's totally flexible. You can slap a favorite color blue sticker on John's name tag and a City Berlin sticker on Sarah's name tag without needing some massive rigid master template.
I love that analogy. So I have these highly flexible digital name tags for my subscribers. How does the email actually read those tags?
Kila utilizes Shopify's Liquid template language to pull that data out. Liquid essentially acts as the logic engine.
Wait, so Shopify Liquid is the mechanism that injects the data into the email right at the moment it sends?
Exactly. It allows you to use simple logic statements. So it's how the email knows to look at the name tag and say, if the city sticker says Berlin, insert this paragraph about our upcoming Berlin event. Yeah, it transforms a static broadcast into a deeply personalized letter.
But you don't always want to send an email to everyone on your list, right? No matter how personalized the greeting is. Kila has a visual segment editor, right?
Yes. Instead of blasting your entire database, you can visually create highly targeted subsets. You can filter by specific tags you've applied or, crucially, by language preferences.
Which is vital because looking at the documentation, Kila itself is highly localized. It supports, let's see, English, German, French, Spanish, Bulgarian, and Hungarian.
That's a lot of coverage.
Yeah. If you have a global audience, Being able to segment your list by language so you aren't accidentally sending a German newsletter to a Spanish speaker, I mean, that's table stakes for a professional organization. And I saw they recently added an automated welcome emails feature too.
Right. So the moment someone joins a specific segment, they automatically receive a personalized greeting tailored to that exact subset of your audience. It just creates a seamless, automated experience for the subscriber, driven entirely by data that you control.
Which really brings us to the core philosophy of this software. I mean, we've talked about what it does, but none of this personalization or bot protection really matters if the software company decides to just, you know, double their prices overnight.
Oh, which happens all the time.
All the time. Or an algorithm suddenly locks you out of your account. That's why the underlying architecture is so vital. Looking under the hood at the GitHub repository, Kila is primarily built in a programming language called Elixir. 68% of the code base, to be exact. Why Elixir?
Okay, this is where the engineering gets really impressive. Elixir runs on the Erlang virtual machine. And to understand why that matters, we actually have to go back to the 1980s.
The 80s, okay.
Yeah. Erlang was originally developed by Ericsson for telephone switches.
Telephone switches, like literally routing physical phone calls.
Exactly. Think about a massive telecom network. It has to handle tens of thousands of simultaneous phone calls without dropping a single one, right?
Yep.
And the system can never, ever crash. That requires incredible concurrency, which is the ability to do many things at the exact same time. Fast forward to today, and that same underlying technology is what routes billions of concurrent messages on WhatsApp.
Wait, my mind is slightly blown here. So Kila is using the same foundational technology that handles WhatsApp's massive global traffic just to send newsletters.
Yes, because sending out a newsletter to, say, 100,000 people simultaneously is actually a massive concurrency challenge. Traditional web frameworks often choke and just crash when trying to blast out that many emails at once.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah, Elixir handles massive scale effortlessly. It ensures Kila is lightweight, incredibly fast, and just rock solid reliable.
Okay, so the engine is an absolute powerhouse. What about the licensing? Because it operates under an AGPL V3 license. For those of us who aren't, you know, copyright lawyers, what does that actually mean for my data and the software's future?
Okay, AGPL V3 is a very specific type of open source license. The A stands for Affero. It's essentially designed to close what's known as the cloud loophole.
Which is what exactly?
Well, historically, massive tech giants would just take free open source code, run it on their own servers as a paid service, and then never contribute their improvements back to the community.
Oh, wow. Just profiting off the free work.
Precisely. The AGTL V3 license strictly mandates that if you modify the software and offer it as a service over a network, you must release your modified source code. It basically legally guarantees that Kila remains truly open and completely prevents corporate monopolization of the code.
Now that is true digital sovereignty.
Mm.
So practically speaking, if I'm listening to this and I want to deploy Kila for my organization right now, where does my data actually live?
You basically have two very distinct paths. The first path is Kila Cloud. This is their managed service. If you choose this, everything is hosted entirely on European infrastructure, specifically in Germany and France.
Okay, so you get the convenience of a hands-off managed service, but with the ironclad guarantee of strict European privacy standards.
Exactly. And then the second path, which SafeServer champions,
is self-hosting, right?
Yes, self-hosting. They provide an official Docker image, which you can find under pentascent/Kila.
Let's define Docker real quickly for everyone.
Sure. Imagine trying to move a house by taking it apart brick by brick and rebuilding it completely across town.
Sounds exhausting.
That's how installing complex software used to feel.
Yeah.
Docker is like building that house inside a standardized digital shipping container. You can just drop that container onto almost any server in the world and it runs perfectly.
Oh, wow. So this means absolutely zero vendor lock-in. Yeah. You install Kila on your own servers and you own the entire stack.
Exacto.
But wait, if I host it on my own server, how do the emails actually leave the building? I mean, I can't just hook this up to my standard Gmail account and try to blind carbon copy 50,000 people, right?
Yeah.
Email would ban my account in about 3 seconds.
Oh, they absolutely would. And this is where SMTT relays come in. Kila actually separates the management of your list from the actual delivery of the emails. Think of Kila as like the steering wheel and the dashboard. You then connect it to an engine that does the actual heavy lifting of the delivery.
So it basically seamlessly integrates with major delivery infrastructure.
Exactly. You plug in your credentials for, say, AWS, SES, SendGrid, Mailgun, or Postmark. You just choose the delivery engine that fits your budget and your scale. But Kila remains the central command center where your data lives securely.
And this isn't just, you know, theoretical architecture. The source material provides some pretty compelling real-world proof. We have a quote from Anouk Ooms, the general secretary of Volt Europa.
Right.
They actually used Kila to send millions of emails across Europe, specifically noting that the software allowed them to keep full, uncompromising control of their data.
Which is massive for a political organization.
Exactly. And then there's André Horau from a company called Brinjal, who praised the incredibly simple user interface, the built-in node tracking features, and the fact that it's built on Elixir for that reliable scaling we just talked about.
Yeah, and when you look at those two use cases side by side, you really see the true spectrum of what this software accomplishes. I mean, it is robust enough to handle millions of cross-border emails for a massive political organization, yet it maintains an interface that's simple enough that a solo creator can just jump right in and start building visual campaigns immediately.
It really is a rare breed of software that gives beginners this visual, easy-to-use entry point into newsletter creation, complete with, you know, a friendly elephant mascot.
The best part.
But beneath that very approachable surface, it is packing the heavy-hitting privacy tools, the sophisticated bot protection, the dynamic JSON segmentation, and that telecom-grade Elixir architecture that massive enterprises demand.
It's powerful.
And it is all of this backed by an absolutely unyielding open-source ethos.
It fundamentally changes the relationship you have with your communication tools, right? Just shifting you from a tenant to an owner.
And that shift is exactly why SafeServer supports this deep dive, and frankly, why they support organizations making this critical transition. Because think back to those expensive proprietary tools you or your company might be using right now, the big tech giants, where you are paying premium prices just to rent access to your own audience.
Right, the Google and Microsoft ecosystems.
Yeah, the benefits of switching to an open source solution like Kila are massive. You aren't just looking at drastic cost reductions, you are regaining absolute uncompromising sovereignty over your subscriber data.
Which you legally need in so many cases anyway.
Exactly. And whether Kila is the perfect fit for your specific business, or, you know, whether a comparable open source alternative might suit your unique infrastructure better, SafeServer can be commissioned for the expert consulting you need to just make it happen smoothly. They basically guide you from the initial decision process all the way to secure compliant operation on German servers. You can explore your options and finally take back control of your communications at www.safeserver.de.
You know, this raises a really important question, and it brings us right back to that metaphor you opened with about the house and the master keys.
Yeah.
When we look at our modern digital ecosystems, we have been deeply, deeply conditioned to just trade our ownership for convenience. We simply accept that renting critical software is just how business is done today. But, you know, if an open source tool like Kila can make professional email marketing this easy, this incredibly secure, and actually give you total control over your audience's data, what other proprietary software are you currently renting that you should actually be owning?